Amen. Matthew chapter 28 tonight. Matthew chapter 28. I love God's word. That's what's going to help us, Sam. We come together in prayer and fellowship and have the ability to preach it. God gives it to you, but I'm glad that God's given us a little church here. People want to hear it and receive it. Matthew chapter 28. I'm going to start in verse 11. Now when they were going, behold, some of the watch came into the city. And shewed, that means showed, unto the chief priest all the things that were done. This was the watch that was watching. When they put the guard to watch from when Christ was in the tomb, they put these fellows there to watch. The watch came to the chief priest, all the things that were done. You remember now the chief priest is the one that had that scam of a trial and paid liars to come and lie against Jesus. And all that stuff was done by the chief priest. They financed that whole thing and paid Judas. So these fellows here was watching. They came back to the chief priest. That's what's going on here in verse 12. And when they were assembled with the elders and had taken counsel, they gave large money unto the soldiers. They said, here, come here. Because what they went back and said was the stone was rolled away. Jesus ain't there. We don't know what happened to him. And they told all these things that that happened to them out there. They said, here, come here, we want to give you some money. Watch this. Saying, say ye, here's what y'all going to say. His disciples came by night and stole him away while he slept. So now here's y'all some money. Don't y'all say that his disciples came and got his body while we slept. And if this come to the governor's ears, now if this comes to Pilate's ears, we will persuade him and secure you. So we'll take care of Pilate. If Pilate catches wind of this, we'll take care of Pilate, and we'll make sure that you're going to be all right. So it benefited them soldiers to take this money and say what they said in case this got out, because they was going to get killed. And so it benefited the whole thing there to try to cover this up. So they took the money and did as they were taught. Now watch this. And this saying is commonly reported among the Jews until this day. Do you know right now that's what some of them still say? In Israel, that's what still Jews still say. They're still looking for the Messiah to come. Some of them still kind of talk about this and believe this. A lie that was propagated there by those chief priests, and it was taught to them how to rehearse. What's something how the devil can take a lie and plant in something and really take off and go with it, can't he? Then the Bible said in verse 16, then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. So Jesus had already showed himself to them and told them where to go. So they're right where Jesus had told them to go. Verse 17, and when they saw him, watch this. When they saw him, they worshipped him. But some doubted. Did you see that? Verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power. Jesus said, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Now, the devil has a plan for your life, just like God has a purpose and a plan. That little baby they're holding back there, and Laura's got her baby back there. She's holding. God has got a purpose and a plan for those babies and their lives, and God's got a purpose and a plan for everybody that is born on the face of the earth. God has got a purpose for them. God's got a plan for them, and the devil is all these things that the devil has done and propagated on man, and man will believe a lie for as anything. But the devil's got five big D's, I believe, that he wants to do to people, and one of them's delay. He wants you to put off doing what God wants you to do. He wants you to put it off as long as you can. And if he can't get you with delay, then he'll get you with defeat. I'm such a failure. I can't do nothing for God. I messed up this week. Why don't I go to church? Or I've been such a rotten sinner. I can never get saved. All this defeat. And then once you get in a church, you'll get you diverted into something, get you distracted on something else. And some people are never saved because they stay all their life being running like a dog, chasing his tail all the time, being diverted. And then he gets you with discouragement, gets you so down and defeated. I mean, I know people that could really be a blessing listening in a church with their presence, with their prayers and with fellowship and with whatever, but they stay in such a state of discouragement they can't do anything. But here's the big one that I believe that the devil really uses a whole lot on people is doubt. And the Bible says here that these boys right here, these people right here, Brother Glenn, this ain't the first time that they had really seen Jesus. This is about the second or third time maybe they had seen Jesus. And the Bible said that they worshiped him, but some doubted. Some doubted, Brother Ken, and they're seeing Jesus right there. They've seen him raised from the dead. They done seen him pass through a wall, but some people are still doubting. Now, can you believe the power of doubt? It's like in your body when you got a physical pain in your body. Your body's telling you when something's hurting in your body, your body's telling you that something's wrong. You better get that fixed. And we all have those pains that come, those passing pains that come with age and all this stuff. But if a pain stays there over and over and over, Brother Ricky, it stays there for weeks and days and months, then you're saying, your body's saying something's bad wrong with your body. You better get that area checked out. It's like Goble's knee right here. His knee went a long time bothering him. Pain over and over and over to such a point that Goble had to go get his knee fixed. They had to put a new knee in there because something was wrong with that. Well, spiritually speaking, listen to me. Some people struggle so much, Brother Tyler, with this thing called doubt. And some say, well, if I seen Jesus, then I wouldn't doubt. Well, that's not what the Bible says. These boys right here seen Jesus. They was with Jesus. They seen the miracles of Jesus. And they still, in spite of all that, they still doubted. Now, some people struggle with doubt more than other people struggle with doubt. But doubt hits every single one of us. But the longer you go as a Christian, the stronger that you ought to be. And I looked at something in the Bible and got to thinking about the biggest times where people doubt, the biggest times where people lose heart, the biggest times where people lose faith, the biggest times where people just feel like giving up and quitting. And brother, one time I believe it is just like these boys, they had been through a whirlwind with Jesus for the last 3 years, and now they're here at a point they have went through so much stress in their life, they have been under so much pressure and under so much stress, and you know, in your Christian walk, when stressful times come, and they will come, when sickness comes, or sorrow comes, or death comes, or a financial strain comes, or something comes in our life, brother, we start doubting, don't we, of the things of God. You say, well, one woman walked up to D.L. Moody one time, Brother Tyler, and she said, you know, I've been a Christian 40 years, and she said, I've never had a battle with doubt. He said, then I doubt that you're even a Christian at all. Whatsoever. Because the devil's got a good way too of rocking people to sleep and getting them secure in herself, or getting them secure in her membership, or getting them secure in a good work. But brother, listen to me. In your life, you and I are going to go through stressors, and we're going to go through times, brother, and some problems. Maybe it's a child gone wild problem. Maybe it's a money problem. Maybe some kind of sickness or hit your body, or the devil brings something in your mind of something that happened back here and get you to doubt. But times when we get under great stress, we're studying in Sunday school about Elijah. And we've spent 10 weeks, brother, in 1 Kings chapter 18. It's amazing, Brother Glenn. When I started getting ready for Sunday school classes, I thought we'd be in here 3 or 4 weeks. Brother, we've been 10 weeks, over 10 hours in 1 Kings chapter 18. But you know what we're going to find with Elijah in 1 Kings 19. He's going to have great victory in 1 Kings 18. And fire's going to fall. But in 1 Kings chapter 19, he's going to go about a day's journey. The Bible said in 1 Kings 19:4, he's going to get under a juniper tree and he's going to pray to God that God kills him. He's going to get in such a state. He's going to get so low and so depressed and full of so much doubt that he's going to pray to God to kill him. The greatest prophet now in the Old Testament, when he got put under that kind of stress, he got to a place, listen, where he said, God, I'm no better than nobody else. I'm no better than my fathers. They ain't done nothing. So just go ahead and take me out. Brother Job said this. Now you want to talk about a man. The Bible said it was a perfect man, upright man. I'm talking about a God-fearing man. I'm talking about a good man. You want to hear what this man Job said in Job 3? 3 after this, Job opened his mouth and cursed his day. And Job spake and said this, Gobel. He said, let the day perish where I was born, and the night which it was said there was a man child conceived. Let the day be darkness. Let not God regard it from above, neither let the light shine upon it. He said, I wish to God that God would just forget the day I was even born. I wish I was never even born. I wish God would just curse that day. Boy, that's what a man said when he went through a whole lot of problems and a whole lot of stress. Did God come out of heaven and smite him down? No. Brother, God's big enough to take our complaints, ain't he? God knows. We just sang that song. Jesus knows all our ever cares. He knows our weakness. He knows all about us. And he knows also that we're going to have problems and struggles, brother, and stressors come on our life. Well, one of the greatest preachers that ever wore shoe leather or sandals was John the Baptist. And Matthew 11 says that this, and it came to pass when Jesus had made an end of commanding his 12 disciples, he departed thence to teach and to preach in their cities. Now when John heard the words of Jesus, John was in prison, brother. John told his disciples, you know this story. John said, well, you go ask Jesus, is he the one, or should we look for another? Now let your mind sit on this for a minute. This is a fella at 6 months in his mother's womb was full of the Holy Ghost of God and leaped in his mother's womb before he was ever brought forth to this world. He saw, listen, Jesus coming down, and God revealed unto him, and he made that statement and said, behold the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. He baptized Jesus in the Jordan River and heard the God audible voice of Almighty God from heaven saying, this is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased. That John right there, Tyler Bentley, he said this. He said, go ask him, is he the one, or should we look for another? He was confined in, brother. He was under great stress. And sometimes, listen, when you and I get in such a state like that, doubt and confusion fills our heart and mind, don't it? It does. It sure does. But what about Elijah? And what we see about Job, and what we're going to see about John the Baptist, is the Lord's going to help them. He ain't going to rebuke them. He ain't going to holler at them. He ain't going to come out there with a ball-peen hammer and get them. You know what David said in Psalm 73? Anybody ever say this? Here's what David said. David said, for I was envious at the foolish when I saw the prosperity of the wicked. For there are no bands in their death, but their strength is firm. They are not in trouble as other men, neither are they plagued like the other men. You ever said anything like that? And listen, I made statements like that. I said, I'll die of a blood clot. Coming to church, I'll creel my ankle and die of a blood clot. But some of this old wicked crowd live like a dog and never get the flu or nothing else. I made statements like that, ain't you? Hey, listen to me. But go ahead and read the rest of this chapter. We get that way in our hearts and our minds, don't we? When we get under stress and under aggravation and under all these things in the world that the devil throws at us, and that God allows to come in our life to reveal what's in our heart, to reveal what's in our mind. We all go through periods of times of doubt. We all go through periods of time when we get confused about things, when we don't understand. For if we did not listen and we understood all things, and why in the world we even need God? Amen. So it's doubt thing, and we all relate to that. I'm watching y'all. Y'all hooking up with me because everybody in here's battled that. You battle that. But you know, some of these fellas right here, why they doubted, because they had been through a lot of pressure and a lot of stress. But you know, there was some of them that doubted, Brother Bubby, because they was unlearned in the Scriptures. Listen to me now. The more you get in this book, the more this book gets in you, the stronger you get in your faith. It don't happen overnight. The more you get in this book, the more you put an effort out, like Brother Ricky said tonight, I want to come to church and I want to hear the Word of God. The more you get around the things of God, the more you get around Sunday school, the more you get around Wednesday night, the more you get around preaching. I'm talking about doctrinal preaching. Powerful, listen to me, full of the Holy Ghost. Listen to me, I'm not talking about head streets of heaven every Sunday and Mamaw's biscuits. We don't need that, brother. We need some doctrinal preaching. We need to know about these problems in life that we go through. And brother, you will teeter-totter from doubt to assurance back and forth if you get unlearned in the Scripture. You got any Scripture for that? Well, the Bible said in Luke 24 that Jesus was going down a path and there was two disciples there. One was named Cleopas and the other one's not named. It may have been Cleopas' wife. I don't know. His wife Mary was at the cross when Jesus was crucified. But they're going down. They'd give 3 years of their life to the ministry of Jesus Christ. They left their home and followed the Lord. And it didn't work out like they thought that it was going to work out. Anybody been there? You say, I got saved. I'm getting there and I'm going to follow the Lord. And brother, it just don't work out like you think. In your mind or my mind, like it's going to work out. And so they're going down there and they begin talking. And Jesus, Goble, gets right in the midst. And they don't know it's Jesus. And the Bible said they can't see Jesus because their eyes are fixed on their problems. You know why some people cannot see Jesus? Because their eyes are so fixed on their problem at the house. Their eyes are so fixed on the problem in their self. Their eyes are so fixed on their situation that a man gets up here and preaches to... until his gallbladder hangs out his nose and you don't get nothing out of it because you're sitting there all the whole time biting your fingernails down to your elbows and you're so fixed on your problems and your situation. Meanwhile, the Lord's right there in the midst of your situation trying to help you. But Jesus didn't jump on him, Glenn. He just began talking to him. And they began telling Jesus what happened to Jesus. And he just lets them go. And they get all the way down to the bottom of this. And Jesus says this to them in verse 25 of Luke 24. Then he said unto them, O fools. He called them fools. He said, O fools and slow of heart to believe that all the prophets had spoken. He said, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? He said, you are fools. I bet that got their attention. He said, you're fools. He said, not only are you fools, you're slow of heart. In other words, you ain't got it. You say you know what Moses wrote. You say you know what Genesis says. You say you know what Exodus says. You say you know what the psalmist wrote. He said, oh, fools and slow of heart. In other words, it's been right there in front of you. Had not Christ suffered, as the scripture said. And the Bible says in Luke 24, that beginning in Moses, you know what he done? He went through the scriptures preaching about himself. Why'd he do something with his eyes? And just say, look here, boys. And do something. Why'd he just lift up his hands and cause a lightning bolt to shoot out? Why'd he just levitate above the ground? No, sir. Faith come by hearing and hearing by of the word of God. And he's putting it down their heart. He's going to give them something that's going to be with them. What's God do with you? How do you grow as a Christian? You come to church. You hear the scriptures. This book gets in you. And the more this book gets in you, the more God strengthens your faith for what's out in front of you. He said, oh fools and slow of heart. You've heard all these things, yet you don't know them in your heart. Amen. You want to grow? It helps you with doubt. Because listen to me. The biggest people that struggle the most is people that ain't never been around preaching. Ain't been around sound teaching of the Bible. Ain't in this book. And brother, they're up and down, teeter-tottering all the time. They're unstable. Like James says, an unstable man, a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways. That means he can't get stable on the job. He can't get stable in his finances. He can't get stable in church. He can't get stable in his prayer life. He can't get stable with his family. He's unstable in all his ways because he ain't made up his mind. You know what God's wanting? A bunch of people just, I'm going to make up my mind. You know, you make one decision. I've said this before. Ken, you make one decision. You go to church in your whole life. You get saved and you say, listen, I'm going to go to church. I'm going to sit in a church. You know what? You may come here on a Wednesday night or a Sunday morning. We might preach something. And you might sit here and might not get a thing out of it. But let me tell you this. From example, you might come and not get a thing out of it, Goble. But 2 years down the road, because you made an effort to come out on a certain
about two years down the road when you're going through a big major problem. God will bring something to your remembrance. God will help you because you put out what little effort you could to be where you was at and to get a hold of the scriptures. God will help you when your time comes. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. He says over all the time, if you will, I will. And brother, I need God, don't you? I need Him for every little decision, everything I do in life. I need God. So why do people struggle so much with doubt? Well, I just told you here that some of them struggle so much with doubt because they're so unlearned in the scriptures. They don't know what the Bible says. Does it shock anybody the state of affairs of our world? It shouldn't if you're in the scriptures. It shouldn't make you an ounce nervous, school shootings and all this. Listen, that ain't going to help nothing. We got problems in the families. We got problems in the home until we got problems in the churches until all that gets solved. Listen, you can take every gun in the world. They'll just run in there with a butter knife and start doing stuff. People, listen, they need the Lord in their life. That's where the problem is, amen? That's where it's at, but we're so unlearned in the scriptures right here. And when we get under stress, Tyler, listen, those little times of doubt come. Those pains come. But I'm going to tell you another area that people struggle in their life with stress or with doubt. Listen to me. These boys right here, Thomas is right there. And Thomas has got a problem. It's the same problem that Peter has. It's the same problem that the other disciples have. It's the same problem Brother Kevin has. It's the same problem that you have. What is it? It's unrepentant sin. Listen to me. You're going to always struggle with doubt. You're going to always struggle with confusion. You're going to always struggle being settled as long as you got unrepentant sin in your life. It's not going to be free. Listen to what David said in 51 Psalms. He said, cast me not away from thy presence. You ever have an issue in your life? You're saved. I'm not talking about relationship. You get saved one time, you get in a relationship with the Lord, but the fellowship with God gets messed up. And David says, cast me not away from thy presence. Anybody ever grow up, and your mom or dad, when you got in trouble, they said, get out of my face. Get out of my face. I'm not talking to you right now. Huh? You ever do that to your kids? I'm not talking to you right now. Get out of my presence. And man, you want to get in their presence. They say, I ain't ready to talk to you right now. That's what David's talking. That's the way God does us. When something ain't right in our life, you say, oh, Lord, praying. I ain't dealing with you right now. You say, well, what's wrong with me, God? You know. You know what's wrong with you. It ain't brain surgery. God tells us what's wrong with us. He puts his finger right on it. The devil nags. And the devil drives, but God don't.
Right.
David knew exactly what was wrong in Psalm 51. He'd messed up bad. And he said, cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I ain't talking about taking the Spirit of God from him. He said, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me, he says, with thy free spirit. You know what he's saying right here? I got some things I'm trying to get right with you, God. And I don't want your presence to be took from me, God. I want to have the free spirit about you. I want to have that joy. And you know, as a child of God, if you've been saved any length of time and you've got a bad attitude, maybe I ain't talking about getting out here and getting drunk. I ain't talking about getting out here running around your husband or your wife. We think that's the only sins in the world. And it is bad sins, and we shouldn't do that. But you know what happens before somebody gets out here and gets drunk? It starts in the heart. It starts in the mind. And that's where God starts dealing with you at, when your heart starts getting wrong. God starts putting his finger out there. Way before a man goes out and gets drunk, or a woman goes out and does something, or a man goes out and does something, way before that old mess starts, God puts his finger on pride in her heart, on bitterness in her heart, on resentment in her heart, on jealousy in her heart, on something in her heart. God deals with those heart issues before they become hand issues. And David, listen, God dealt with David, but David went ahead and done what he done. Now he's saying, God, I need your presence back in my life. I need that joy fixed back in my life. And because of that unrepentant sin in his life, he had doubt. He didn't have the assurance that he needed. And God won't give it to us that way. As a loving father, he won't do it. You've got little Ron. He needs a daddy. If little Ron don't do right, daddy steps in and disciplines him. I'm using Bubby's example. Bubby ain't going to be, if little Ron's out doing things he ain't supposed to be doing, and Bubby says, I don't care. And Bubby says, it's all right, and rewards him for doing bad, then we're going to say Bubby is not a good daddy, and rightfully so. Yeah. Amen. We're going to say Bubby ain't doing what he's supposed to be doing because that's his son out there. He should be trying to correct him, ain't it? How come it is when it comes to God, we can go out here and live any way we want and say, hey, God ain't correcting me. I've still got joy. God's still blessing me. No, friend, not by the word of God. That ain't where it's at. When we get out here and live disobedient from God, you don't have that joy in your life. And if you do, brother, it might be because of the fourth reason why some people, listen to me, always struggle with doubt because they're unsaved. Yeah. Unsaved. Right. Unsaved. Unsaved. Now, I said this here. Listen to me. You get up in the mornings, you say, man, my knee hurts. Well, you don't need to go down there and get a knee replacement surgery because your knee hurts in the morning. You go to the doctor, he's going to say, yeah, buddy, you got a little arthritis in there. Go back to the house. But like Goebel, his knee went on for months and months and years, and he got to where he couldn't walk, and the doctor said, yeah, there's something ain't right. And your knee might hurt, and then tomorrow it might not hurt. It's showing that something, but if something is still going, if something goes on day after day after day, are you with me right now? Year after year after year, and you can't never nail that thing down. Right. You might want to get along with God and say, God, do I got sin in my life? You know, listen to me. I have never went to God and said, God, is there something in my life that just ain't right? I'm not worthy. I no more get the words out. I know what it is.
Yeah, that's right.
And it's usually an attitude. It's usually some attitude in my heart. Nine times out of ten is some attitude in my heart about something. Or I'm entertaining something that ain't right in my mind. Or whatever, I'm distracted on something else. And nine times out of ten is something in the heart that God says, yeah, you know what it is. You know exactly what it is. And he begins to deal with me there, and I get things fixed up and right, amen, and get that presence back. But if you continually think, I don't know if I'm right or not, I hope I'm right or not. Listen to me, after you've been saved a while, Brother Ricky, when they took you to surgery, you knew you was going to heaven. You knew you was going to heaven. If you died back there in your sleep, you're going to heaven. Ricky said, I'm going to heaven because I'm a member of Liberty Baptist Church. That ain't going to help nobody. This pulpit belongs to this church. It ain't going to heaven. It's going to stay here. Amen. Them ceiling fans belong to the church, but they ain't going nowhere. Only them that have been blood bought, born again, child of God. Saved by grace of God. I'm going to heaven not because I've done anything, because I ain't. I deserve to be in hell just like you deserve to be in hell. But listen to me, God nails that down in somebody's heart that you've been saved. And if he's constantly something going on in somebody, I don't know if I'm saved or not. Get along with God. He'll let you know real fast. You're not right. You're not saved. You're trusting in a baptism. You're trusting in a membership. You're trusting in some old good thing that you done. But God will let you know you have not been born again. And that's why you struggle so much with your doubt. That's why you struggle so much to live right. That's why you struggle so much to hear the word of God. Because it's not being birthed in your heart, amen. Amen. Right?
Yeah,
that's where it's at. That's the Bible. Now, Brett, I'm glad Jesus don't leave us like that. He seen the Bible said some doubted, and Jesus came and spake unto them. And right after some doubted, verse 18 says, Jesus came and spake unto them. Here's what he said. This right here helps me. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Did you hear that I just said? All power. He is a sovereign God. There's nothing escapes his mighty hand. He ain't up there, listen to me, dear people. He ain't up there drinking Maalox, sitting on the throne, worrying about what the next devil's play is going to do. He is the devil and he's got power, but he ain't got all power. He's God's devil and God uses him in certain ways. But Jesus said, I have all power. Listen to me. If you're a child of God, no matter what comes into your life, it's had to pass through the hands of Almighty God. No matter what suffering, no matter what sickness, no matter what somebody does to us or say to us, no matter what trial, Randall, that we go through. He said, I've got all power. It's all got to go through my hand before it gets to you. We serve a big God. I preach a big old God. Hey, listen to me. I preach a big God, a powerful God. He said, all power is given to me in heaven and in earth. He's a sovereign God in control of all things. Amen. That helps my assurance, don't yours?
Amen.
Then after you get a hold of that, Here's what he says. He said, you need to get a hold of this. He said, all power is given unto me. So he's showing them he's sovereign. He's in control of all things. Did you know he's in control? Do you really believe he's in control of all things? Do you know he knows a million years? He knew a million years ago that you was going to be here tonight. And do you know he knows where you're going to be at when you die? Do you know that? All power is given unto me. Some doubted. He said, look, all power is given unto me. Then he says, right after he says that, something interesting happens here. He says in verse 19, go. All power is given to me. Go ye, therefore, teach all nations, baptize them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So not only is he telling them, Glenn, look, I'm sovereign. I've got all power. So why are you sitting around for? If I've got all power and I saved you and you believe me, go. Why are we sitting on our hands for? Go. Isn't it amazing that when you're struggling with something, that if you just get busy doing something for God, how it affects your mind? I mean, think about that. They want people in the nursing home to get up and move around. Why? Because it's good to get up and move around. If you can't do nothing else, they tell these people in the nursing home, get up and change your clothes and fix your hair. And we do that with my little grandmother. We want you to change your shirt and do it with the little thing. We want you to do something. Jesus says, look, I saved you. I've got all power. I know you're going to go through stressful times. I know you're going to have issues. But go do something. Be in service and do something. Listen, you'll feel a whole lot better. Listen, you'll get out there and do something for me. Whatever you say, well, I can't preach. I can't sing. Listen to me. God saved us all to do something. You know what, though? You know who has the greatest influence? Listen, Arabella and little Ezra, mommy and daddy, has the greatest influence over them. And determining whether they're saved or not is mommy and daddy, not the preacher now. Listen, not the Sunday school teacher. Moms and dads have got a great influence over them children and whether they're going to be saved or not and serve God. You say, well, if that's all I got to do, that's a big thing, honey. Hey, getting your family right. And mom and dad's got a great influence in that. So if you can't sing and you can't preach, bless God, raise your youngins up that they may know Jesus. Jesus Christ. Amen. 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 I got them for about 2 hours a week. Sister Kayla and Brother Tyler got them all week long. Amen. Be service in your family. Be a witness there in your family. Nail it down right there in your family. Go ye into all the world. Teach all nations. Baptize them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Ghost. Teach about everything. Teach about Jesus. Teach about the Spirit of God. Teach about God the Father. Hey, listen, omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient God, brother, who's got all power, brother, that'll cure all doubts that you got. You may go to the doctor tomorrow and get a bad news report that says you've got a bad heart or some kind of cancer, and that's going to rock your world for a minute. But then I believe the sweet Spirit of God say, look here, buddy, I've got all power. I know what I'm doing. I've got all power. So you just go and do what you need to do because I got all power. Amen. Then he closed it out with this. And this is real important. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. And he says this. And lo, I'm with you always, even until the end of the world. The Savior is always with us. He's always with us. No matter what we doubt, no matter how, on my best day, he's with me. And on my sorriest, worst day, he's still with me. Amen. On my best day as a Christian, he loves me just as much. On my worstest day as a Christian, he still loves me just as much. Amen. It don't change.
That's right.
He don't say, well, I'm not going to love Kevin as much today as I did yesterday, because he can't. You know why? Because he's an unchanging God. He changeth not. The Bible said in 1 John 5:13, Brother Greg White quoted this, these things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. Well, I hope I'm getting in. I know where I'm going. I know. And one of the greatest things as a pastor, as a preacher, that just blesses my heart is when I see you all succeed. When I see people in this church, man, get victory. When I see you in this church and your kids are succeeding. When me and my wife see you in this church, man, gaining ground. and really gaining some victories and really getting some assurance and some knocking some things out in your heart. Man, I tell you what, that's the greatest thing in the whole wide world to see some of these kids that have come up in Sunday school serving God, working for God, doing anything. Some of you listen to me getting victory. You getting financial victories in your life, overcoming sickness in your life, battling and getting through these things and getting that assurance down your heart. Man, that's the greatest thing as a pastor that you are and knowing, listen to me, that you've weathered storms, that you went through doubts and fears, but Jesus has been with you all along, and this you can know that you have eternal life, not because your preacher's telling you, not because some kind of emotion, because emotions come and emotions go, and most of the time we feel pretty bad. I'm glad my salvation ain't based on how I feel. I'm glad it's who I know, and what I know is I trusted Him, and He saved me and converted me. Jesus Christ, He's always with me. Paul said, 1 Thessalonians 1:5, for our gospel came unto you not in word only. Paul said, I ain't come out there and just talk to you all. He said, but also in power and in the Holy Ghost. You don't have to be loud to have power either. Yeah. I heard Bobby Robertson preach. He pastored Walkertown Baptist Church 52 years. I heard him preach, Tyler, I've told you this before. I heard him preach on going the second mile. He never come above a whisper, and there's 200 people there. Man, I never have forgot that. I never have forgot that. And he'd spent time with me after the service. He's 85 years old. He's gone to glory now, but I never have forgot that. And it wasn't in his voice. He was 85 years old. He was weak in body. But Ricky, man, I tell you right now, he knew God. And man, he had power behind what he said. And Paul said in the Holy Ghost, and in much assurance. In much assurance, as you know what manner of men were among you for your sake. Paul said that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and in all riches, the full assurance of understanding. In Colossians 2:2, assurance. Assurance. Hebrews 10:22-23 says, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an even conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold profession of our faith without wavering, for He is faithful that promised. He's always with me. No matter what, He's always with me. He lets them know this right here. I love this song that we sing in the songbook. I wrote it down. It says, I'm a pilgrim and I'm a stranger. That's us, if you're saved. Through a strange land I roam. It's in the songbook right here. Oft I'm foot worn and weary as I journey along. But there's someone walking with me wheresoever I roam. That someone is Jesus. I'm never alone. Kia, no matter where you go in this life, young man, wherever you go, no matter what kind of things befall you in life, He's ever with you wherever you go. No matter how much things hit you, get you to doubt in life, Ricky, He's ever with you. He's got all power. The stanza says, I'm never alone, I'm never alone. No, never alone. My Savior is with me. Christ Jesus is near wherever I roam. I hold to His hand. Lean on His strong arm, Glenn. He's ever with me. I'm never alone. I hold to His hand. And sometimes my grip just ain't good. You ever hold on to something and you just lose your grip? Yeah. You ever hold on to your child's hand and they let go of your hand? I know you have. If you got little kids, you try to get them somewhere and you got their hand. They do like this, but you still got to hold their hand. That's why I do the Lord sometimes. I let go of it sometimes. He's, oh, come on. Come on. Huh? I'm glad he just don't let me go and say, go on out there and run out in front of the road. Going out there, little child, let a truck run over you. No, he loves us too much for that. He holds on to us. Sometimes we're too weak. You ever hold on to a sick person's hand in the hospital? They just can't grip your hand. I always hold people's hand when they're in the hospital bed. And they can't grip your hand. You grip their hand. I'm glad He does us that way, ain't you? I'm glad He loves us that way. But some doubt it. If you're here tonight, I don't know the state of your mind, your heart. I don't like to give an altar call. If God is moving on your heart and mind, you'll let us know. And you'll want the world to know what God's done for you in your life. But these altars is open always for prayer. Your seat's open for prayer. If you struggle with this thing, maybe you're here tonight and you struggle with some issue of this and some facet. Nail it down with God. Tell Him. Say, God, I struggle with this. Maybe you're here tonight and you say, God, I don't even know if you're real. I'm going to tell you what you do. You tell God, make yourself real to me. He will. Amen. If you really want God to make yourself real to you, He'll make yourself real to you. You say, how will you do it? Ever how it needs to get a hold of you. Amen. Ever how it needs to get a hold of you, He'll make yourself real. He's real tonight. Let's stand tonight if you will.